Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Since I have a very artistic son, when I have a request for a gift, I usually ask him to make me something. So one year, he made me this cross, and I was very fascinated by it because not only was it beautiful, but it had all sorts of what I thought of symbols on it. There's a rose, there's the crown on top, there's fish. So I asked him about the symbolism of this beautiful cross that he made me, and he said, I just went into the art teacher's jewelry box and threw stuff up there. My wonderfully spiritual child. One of the things that I find between Palm Sunday and Easter is that most of us would like to skip over Good Friday. The churches that I was raised in actually did that. Sometimes on Good Friday, they would have Easter cantatas. Wanted to skip over all that messy stuff. I notice on Palm Sunday we have a good crowd, on Easter we have a good crowd, but then when it comes to Holy Week readings, things fall off. And I can understand that. Who wants to deal with suffering and death? Remember, one of the services that I conducted back east was called a Tenebrae service. It was a very dark service of shadows where with each reading, the lighting would dim dramatically. And by the end of the service, we would be in darkness and silence. And one young lady in the choir looked so stricken and said, "This is the most depressing service I've ever been to." I said, "Well, it's not supposed to be party time. Something awful happened, and we need to commemorate it," but I noticed she didn't come next year. I understand this. It's hard to deal with the tragedy, and none of us really want to deal with that. We want to go directly from Palm Sunday to Easter. I think we're very much like the crowds on Palm Sunday that day. There were the people who had been healed that were in that crowd that day. And of course, they wanted to celebrate. They wanted to speak about all the wonderful things that they had seen and heard from Jesus of Nazareth. There were the disciples who must have been out of their minds with excitement, including Judas, because the symbolism did not escape anyone. If they had any knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, the symbolism of the king on the donkey going in, riding in peace. And I'm sure Peter, especially, who had said, "You are the Messiah," was thrilled to know that now he was going to go in and seize his kingdom. James and John were already jockeying for position on who was going to be his chief lieutenants in the kingdom. And they were not thinking kingdom of heaven. They were thinking kingdom right here on earth. He was going to go into Jerusalem, and somehow through the power of the Spirit, he was going to overthrow Roman rule, because that's what the Messiah was supposed to do. Nobody was thinking death. Except, of course, Jesus. If the disciples really had known that that march into Jerusalem was going to cause his death, they would have probably wrestled Jesus to the ground, got him off that donkey, and sent him away someplace. But Jesus knew, and he faced death. I think sometimes we as Christians have to linger, not at Palm Sunday and Easter, but at the cross. Not to feel ashamed or guilty or like a dirty, rotten sinner, but to remind ourselves what love is really about. True love entails sacrifice and pain. True love is not that ooey-gooey romantic stuff where we just feel so wonderful all the time. True love causes sacrifice and pain. Any woman who has borne a child understands what I'm talking about. Childbirth is not a picnic. It involves sacrifice and pain. Any man, any father who has paced the floor with a child who's sick understands what love is about. Because you keep praying to God that somehow that child's pain will be transferred on you so that your child will not have to deal with that pain. Anyone who's had a friend who's been ill and you've sat by that bedside knows what it means to love. Love entails pain and sacrifice. And I think of the great God of heaven, who doesn't just benignly love us from afar, created this universe and say, go and have a wonderful life. The God of the universe decided to come and to identify with us in our pain. Identify with the victims of oppression. Identify with the poor. Identify with all those who feel that life has passed them by. Identify with all of us who are fearful of death. The Bible says God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself. None of us choose to die. It's the human condition. God chose it. And when I think of that kind of love, it inspires me to action. Because the God who loves me loves the people that I am in contact with. The God who loves me and who went to the cross for me loves the people who are struggling in this life. The God who loves me is with those who feel as if they've been abandoned. What great love is this? I think we can learn a lot from our young people these days. You know, so often we look at our young people, and I'm not just talking in this area, but in general, and the older generation might say, what are they coming to? But I have seen such wonderful acts of love, especially the past couple of weeks. We heard about the tragedy in that school where that young man went on a rampage and he had knives in his hands and he was stabbing people randomly. And there were stories of young men who stood in front of their friends so that they could take that knife instead of their friend. There was one couple where he went and he got stabbed and he went to the ground and the girl stood over him and started to apply pressure to the wound. And when they interviewed them, she also went to the hospital with him. She refused to leave his side. And they said about each other, she said, he has saved my life. And he said, she saved my life. And I thought about those two sitting there side by side in the hospital. And of course, being a typical teenage girl, she was crying. And I thought of what it will be like in the decades that follow, at the anniversary of that terrible event, when a newspaper reporter comes to interview them, let's say after they retire. I can't imagine that they will still not be connected in some way because of that event. Their love has solidified in that one act of pain and sacrifice. Whether they go to the same school together, whether they live in the same town together, they will always be connected because of that day. I think of that young man on the bus that was burning that kicked out the window so that his fellow students and he could get out. That will never be forgotten. And I think of Jesus, who saved my life before I was ever born, who gave me peace, who gave me joy, who gave me a Christian family that I have followed every place I've gone, that gave me that man that in 1989 I met for one moment in time, and now we pray together. And I think, as a disciple of that man, Jesus, that perhaps I should linger at the cross this week, not only in those Holy Week readings, but with everyone who's suffering, who has a need, who's feeling like life has crushed them. I need to linger at the cross to be a part of their lives too. What great love we have been given. And I hope that my life will reflect that love until the day that I am called home. Let us pray.